to now everybody has to own up to it as it happens in real time, or else face the savage consequences of the doorknob beating. Hey, welcome to the Here's What I Don't Get bonus episode.
Let's get started.
Yeah, no, I'm fine with that opening. There you go. You get what you pay for, ding, fuckos.
No, let's do a good one. I want to do a good one.
All right. I ain't editing that shit out, though. That was a good opening.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Here's What I Don't Get, from north to south, east to west, the only international podcast to tackle all of life's most important issues. I am your host, Uncle Buck. With me today, special guest from the Great White North, Joel Chaco.
Hey-o!
Hola, mi enchada.
Hola, mi enchada.
So, welcome, everyone, to bonus episode number two.
Hello. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Patreon supporters. You guys...
All four of you.
Yeah, you stepped up this week. We doubled our count. we're getting better. Although, you know, in the future, these other ones that are coming in the future, because I know they're coming, they're going to find this episode and they're going to understand that we were wallowing in the sub $20 a month phase for quite a while. You know, here we are, what? Oh, you got a sound drop on me? That's what we're already improving the show. We got sound drops now.
Or we're
sound
making
drops.
It worse. I've only got a few. Here's for you to have it. Tim Chang's on the show. You ready?
Nice. We're never having Tim Chang's on the show. Fuck
You're
that guy.
Racist.
Racist. Oh my god. Nah. His behavior after the fallout was pathetic at best.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to get into it today. So, bonus episode, we're going to have to do this one a little bit quicker than the last one.
Yes, we're going to wrap this one.
We ran the last one so long, if anyone ever heard it. But anyway,
Some people heard it.
Oh yeah.
Our first Patreon supporter heard it and he liked it. He passed it along. He liked it.
Okay.
Mr. Kelly, good job. Thank you.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay, so bonus episodes, obviously we just bring in a little short issue a piece. Just to give everyone a little tickle in the ear to keep them going through the week.
That works for me, man. That works for me.
Slightly erotic. I should probably
What that laugh?
No, the quickie and the tickle in the ear and the,
oh, we
the
should
fact
make
that
love
my voice
to our...
for this episode is a little bit lower and a little bit softer.
There you go. Yeah, sexual. Exactly. Your dulcet tones are basically making love to the ears of those sweet, sweet Patreon supporters. That's
Hello,
what you
everyone.
Get for your money.
Welcome to Here's What I Don't Get.
If only you can make like a sort of like licking sound, like.
I've got a pretty sensitive mic. Let's see if we can get a...
Oh, no!
That's so gross. I'm glad this is behind the paywall.
Never do that again.
I'll just make that a sound drop. Just... So anyway. Christmas time's upon us, man. You ready to, ready to gripe about Christmas?
Well, I feel like we've griped about Christmas enough, and I have a feeling that this bonus episode will not drop until after Christmas. Am I right or no?
You know, you're right. So let's bring some after Christmas issues.
Yeah. Well,
I have the ultimate after Christmas issue.
Gibber, do you want to start?
I think I will.
So, all right.
Without further ado, here's what I don't get. People who don't take their Christmas trees down.
Ooh, yeah, those people.
I went there.
Oh, man, those people. What's the longest you've ever seen somebody hold their Christmas tree in their living room for?
Ever.
What do you mean ever?
Forever. I know a person, I'm not going to say who it is.
Uh-oh.
Literally, because it's a person that is very important to me in my life, and I probably couldn't survive
Who finds without. Farting funny?
No, I'm not related to this person. However, they're very, very important to me. This person has not taken their Christmas tree down since last year.
Oh no. I don't even know how to unpack that. Like, what do you say to somebody like that? Do you have to have an intervention?
I left it alone because at the end of the day, one of their ornaments was the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. So I just, you know, just left it alone.
You get one.
Me and my coughs that turn into laughs. I sound like a smoker.
Anyway, you do.
I'm so horribly out of shape. But anyway, yeah, this is going to be a quick one. I don't get why people think they have to drag out Christmas into February.
I think they're the same people that have birthday weeks. I think they're the same people that just need something to grasp onto, to escape from their miserable lives. They need some sort of a beacon that they can point to. And it's like, oh man, the Christmas tree's still up. I still got that Christmas spirit. I'm hanging on. It's May and that Christmas tree is still up. God damn it. See, there's one way to get around this. I know what the solution is to this. Really easy.
What is it?
Real Christmas trees?
Yeah. I'll give you that one.
You can't keep a real Christmas tree in your living room year round. I mean, dude, I bet I spent $70 on my Christmas tree this year, because normally we go to this Boy Scouts place to get it, but for whatever reason, there's like no more Boy Scouts left to like volunteer. So they had this like 80-year-old man who was running the Christmas tree lot. But he was never fucking there. Like, my parents had to go like three times for their tree there, and they like left a note, and the guy called back. So when I went down there with my family, I remember getting to the gate and going, "Oh, he's closed again. I can't support this. I can't wait around. It's too fucking cold. I need my goddamn tree." So we went to like Home Depot, and no help there, by the way. Like, yeah. you go to Home Depot, and it's like you walk through and you're like, "Where's the Christmas trees? Where's an employee? Where's anybody? Can I get some twine? Can I get anything? Can I get somebody to help me put this on top of my car? Is anybody going to carry this to the door?" I had to take it to self fucking checkout, man. I had self checkout my fucking tree and like pick up the base end and scan the barcode. And at the end of the day, like, I've got this thing up. We've got a tree stand from IKEA. We put the water in the damn thing, and now here we are. Like, at the time of this recording, we're about what, 3 days away from the big night. From the big day, you know, and already, like, this thing is just shedding needles everywhere. And I'm looking at my parents' one that they did wait for at the Boy Scout one that they paid $20 for, and theirs is still totally healthy. It looks a little bit like a Charlie Brown tree, but it's like healthy. And ours is just falling apart. So, you know, I'm going to be getting that thing out on December 26th, which is Boxing Day up here in Canada.
Now, on the flip side of that is people who put their Christmas tree up like the minute Halloween is over.
Ew. No.
Now, like, and my wife does a very good job with our Christmas tree. That's like her a passion for her. And so I had to kind of rein her in, because a couple years ago it was like in November, seriously, she started putting up the Christmas tree, and I was like, how about Thanksgiving first? And so I,
oh God, before Thanksgiving?
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah.
Live tree or fake tree?
Oh, fake.
Okay.
That way we just reuse the same one every year. You still lose needles because it's
Paraguay,
cheap.
But yeah.
But anyway, so now this year she did a lot better. She waited till after Thanksgiving. So we're good that way. Now, her dad is Mr. Christmas decorations. I mean, he's like super, super duper enthusiastic. He's like, when you drive down their road, you know which house is theirs because it lights up the rest of the neighborhood. He seriously has. He's like it's like a caricature out of a movie of someone who puts up too many lights.
Like Chevy Chase.
That's my father.
Christmas Vacation.
He is seriously
or Deck the Halls, whatever that movie was. Anyway, go ahead.
Like, if you gave him a budget, like just an unlimited budget, he would just continue throughout the. he'd start about the same time, about the end of October, and he would just keep erecting more and more lights and more things in his yard.
He needs his own separate power grid.
Yeah. And so, I mean, he's got like wireframe reindeer. He's got those huge molded plastic nativity characters. They're okay. Like 4 feet tall. Like you could almost go and hang out with them. there's a white fence that runs down the side of their driveway between them and the neighbor.
Yeah.
He's got that covered in lights. He's got the icicle lights hanging down.
Uh-huh.
And then you go inside their house, and he's got, like, the Christmas tree, obviously. He's got candles and crap. He's got, this is no lie, mechanical angels. He's got little mechanical angels that, like, light up.
Oh, that sing? And
I think they might make music or something that when they're turned on a certain mode, but the problem is they're, like, so old. They're, like, they kind of turn, like, their torso turns a little bit. Like, uh-huh. I think their arms might move, I'm not sure. But the wings kind of open and close very slowly.
Nothing creepy about that.
And what happens is, here's the creepy part. The motors are kind of old, so you start hearing them going.
Dude.
Constantly.
Motorized Christmas shit is both amazing and horrific at the same time. My mom is addicted to these motorized things. She's got ones for Halloween. She's got ones for Easter, and then she's got these ones, and the collection for Christmas is through the roof, which my four-year-old absolutely loves. Like, when he goes over there, the rule is he has to ask permission before he pushes any of the buttons. Otherwise, he'll have a fucking chorus of, like, 17 different animals singing this, like, different songs that drives you crazy really quickly.
This din of music, yeah.
Oh, it's the worst. And some of them are, like, wicked creepy. Like, I always feel like if you were to, like, peel off the fur, like, there was this one that it's, like, this little cute, like, polar bear, and he's, like, reading The Night Before Christmas, and, like, his movements are a little creepy. And I keep thinking to myself, like, if you rip that, like, the fur off of this thing, and you just saw this little, like,
Five Nights at Freddy's
exoskeleton of a robot just going away at it, it would scare the fuck out of my kids. So one of these years, I'm gutting that thing.
God, that's so horrible. It's kind of like a Teddy Ruxpin, right?
Oh, yeah, exactly. It looks a lot like a Teddy Ruxpin.
Did you ever own one of those?
You know what? No, I didn't. I asked for one for years. For years. It was Teddy Ruxpin, and there was another one that came out called Bingo Bear. I don't know if that was only in Canada, but it was Bingo Bear. And I felt like the Teddy Ruxpin one, it's like you put the tape in and it plays by itself. Whereas the Bingo Bear had a tape in it, but it had like a sock part to the back that you put your hand through, and the mouth would open and close on its own, but you move the head around and stuff like that, like it's like a talking puppet. And I wanted that so fucking bad. And I never got that, never got a Teddy Ruxpin. But I remember going to somebody's house, and then they had a Teddy Ruxpin, and I remember they put on, like, I think it was either, this is dating it, but it was either a Milli Vanilli tape or an MC Hammer tape It was great. Teddy Ruxpin was rocking out to you know, bump, 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 baby. Don't forget my number. Oh, God. Milli Vanilli references. Girl, only on the bonus content.
Girl. Or wait. Girl, you know it's 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 girl.
Uh-oh. It's skipping. It's skipping. They're trying to lip sync.
For all, God, you kids that is who don't know what we're talking dated about, you got to go YouTube that one.
No, Milli Vanilli. Milli Vanilli is
Is the one guy dead now?
Maybe.
I think one of them's dead now. I don't know, but
for anybody who has no idea what we're talking about, this is a manufactured band, I guess, or group. It's really just two singers. And by singers, I mean, like, dancers. I put that in quotation marks. Yeah, because essentially they got busted for being a whole... They what's that?
You're spoiling it.
Oh, they got
to
look it up? All right.
Make
fine,
them
fine,
look
fine.
It up.
They got busted. They won't look up shit. We're talking four people.
You're right. the fact of the matter is, what you heard on the CD had nothing to do with the guys you saw dancing. They hired other people to come in and sing the songs.
Exactly. It was kind of like how Darth Vader was played by that one guy,
David
but voiced
Prowse.
By James Earl. Yeah, but voiced by James Earl Jones. Like that's the equivalent of Milli Vanilli.
Yeah. Now, if you ever wondered what the face, the actual face of Darth Vader looked like, you can see David Prowse in a lot of different things, but one of the about 10 years before Star Wars, go watch A Clockwork Orange.
And he's in that?
Yeah, David Prowse is the big burly guy that takes care of the writer after his wife is dead.
Huh.
And that
crazy.
Guy that when Alex comes back to the house and that big burly guy doing the lifting weights, that's David Prowse. That's Darth Vader looking like a twink.
Dude, I gotta look that up. That's hilarious. Looking like a twink. You know, come to think of it, Darth Vader's outfit could definitely fit in the gay chaps culture.
You know?
Letters. Yes. Letters.
Correct. So anyway, I mean, I don't really have much where else to go with this one. Just take down your damn Christmas tree after Christmas. Don't leave it up.
I have a moral issue with putting it up before December 1st. I feel like you got 25 days. Okay, if we devote those 25 days to Christmas, that is more than enough time to enjoy the tree, to put your stuff under the tree. I think, and that's why, like, December 1st, that's where I was. That's why I had to buy the tree on December 1st, you know? And that's why I was like, I'm not waiting around for this guy. I'm going to the fucking Home Depot. Because I just can't do it. Can't do it in November. Can't do it.
Nah, not with a real tree. And then afterwards, you have firewood.
You guys have Thanksgiving in November. We have Thanksgiving in October. But in November... I mean, to me, November is two things. That's Remembrance Day, which I guess you guys have as Veterans Day.
Right.
To which I also think of as Kurt Vonnegut's birthday. So I always try to start or read a Vonnegut book every November 11th. But the other thing is it's Movember. Right? Okay. Have you heard of Movember or No Shave November?
I've heard of No Shave November, yeah.
Yeah, so essentially it's like, you know, people growing mustaches, which I'm absolutely bringing in as an issue later on is mustache hate or you know, people not liking mustaches.
I love mustaches.
I know, man, they're fantastic. And yet they get so much hate. I mean, I've brought it up before, but when I've had a mustache in the past, you know, it's just constant beratement. From people.
Pedo.
Exactly. And my response to that always is look up pedo mugshots. Just look it up on Google. Just look at Google image search, like pedo mugshots, and then count to me. Tell me the percentage of the ones that you see that have a mustache in them. I'll wait. Cause there ain't that many.
Welcome. Anyways. To Here's What I Don't Get. We talk about Christmas and pedos.
Oh, the Pizzagate episode. That's coming up soon. I'm not ready for it yet. I'm still gathering information.
I've teased on the regular episodes, I'm going to bring in Ghostbusters at some point.
Eventually.
Yeah. That's going to be on a bonus episode.
And it's going to be on a bonus episode.
It's going to have to be behind the paywall. Something that's salacious and juicy. You heard it here first, folks. You are Patreons.
All right. We'll have to tease that.
Yeah, yeah.
So, shall I go?
Yeah, I'm done with mine. Go ahead.
Well, mine's not really like post-Christmas, although maybe it could be. I mean, because sometimes you get gift cards in your stocking for, like, you know, the iTunes, Apple Store, or for Google Play or something like that. But
right.
I'm not a big video gamer anymore. I used to be. But, you got something?
Remember to say the tagline.
I will. Okay. I'm leading into it. Okay. I'm doing it with a little bit of finesse. So you know, I don't play a lot of video games. I still am playing NHL 14 on the PS3 because it's enough for me to get by. But on my phone, I used to play Angry Birds for a while. I don't play that as much anymore. The one that I'm hooked on now is Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes.
Right.
And through playing this, I've learned about a new concept. I mean, because I'd heard about freemium games before, where it's like a free game, but inside of it, you got to spend some money to keep playing or going ahead. But what I learned out of those was there's this class of people who play these games.
Right.
And they're called whales. They call them whales. And so here's what I don't get about freemium games. Freemium game whales. And all right. what a freemium game whale is somebody with endless amounts of disposable income. So think of
the opposite of me.
Think of a kid whose parents have plugged in their credit card onto the thing and don't give a shit about how much they spend on a game. So I'm used to spending, let's say, what, $70, $80 for a brand new game for a console?
Right.
Does that sound about right?
60, I think. Down here.
60 to 80. Okay. With Canadian dollarettes, it's about $80. So I'm used to that. But what I'm seeing here in these freemium games is you get this free thing. And in Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes, the point of it is to try to keep collecting shards of characters so you can unlock new characters like Lando Calrissian and the new characters from Rogue One.
But
it takes forever to unlock anybody. And it's called farming when you're doing it for free. You just come in and you play your free credits for the day and you try to grind them out. But there's people that can't wait for that. And those are the whales. And whales, what they'll do is they'll drop hundreds of dollars at a time on this thing. I mean, there's you'll come up against teams in these things where the characters that they have are so rare, and it costs so much to get them up to their 7-star ranking, which is the top ranking you can get, that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that person spent thousands of dollars to get to that point. Thousands of dollars to get unlocked characters in a fake game, in a fake universe, for fake points, to get fake respect from people you'll never meet.
In a game that you're going to play for 6 months and forget about.
I wish it was only 6 months, because I've been playing this fucking thing for like 8 months. And I got sucked in the beginning. I never spent like hundreds of dollars at a time, but boy, oh boy, it's really easy to drop $2.50 to just get enough purple crystals to unlock a little bit more so I can have another 2 hours to play today, because I've already played out my free credits. Like, I'm the dummy that knocked out a couple of those. And then when I calculated it out, I probably spent about $90 on this fucking game.
Oh.
And I hate myself for it. But then again, like, I'm looking at it right now, and the new Rogue One movie came out that I'm not paying to go see, and I'm not paying Disney to have more credits. But these people will go to unlock these new characters. They'll pay $140 just to unlock the characters, and that's just to unlock them, to get them up to the fucking to get them up to the 7-star ranking, or to make them actually useful in the game. You're gonna have to drop just you're gonna have to buy this thing like 6 or 7 times. It's insane.
Well, I mean, but. I mean, I get where you're coming from. I think that's repugnant, but it's obviously a successful business model.
Oh, absolutely. But I start to wonder, like, there's been people that have kind of looked at this from an economic standpoint, and you go, okay, so what is the best plan that you can do? Because apparently Marvel has a similar type of game, but it doesn't have these packages priced up at, like, $100 and some. It's a lot more like $10 or $5. And so if you're getting, like, you know, 10 million people dropping little bits of amounts rather than going after the 1 in 1,000 to get the bigger amounts from the whales, you're going to probably have people stick around a little bit longer and drop more over the life of the game than the ones that go and look and say, you know what, fuck it. I'll never have Emperor Palpatine. Like, he's just I can never unlock him. I don't have enough Jedis to do the Jedi event to unlock him. That's never going to happen. I'm never going to have that crazy awesome ship that came in. Like you just give up. And that's when you're going to be putting it away. So you will have wasted 6 months learning the hard way that only the big dollar spenders are the ones that the game wants to keep around.
Yeah, it's called pay to win. But still, yeah. I mean, they're just they can have pay a little bit one way or pay a bunch the other way. There's still going to be someone that'll do it, and they can easily have both.
Well, I think it's not that I disagree with their existence. I just don't understand their thought processes on it. It's like, You could buy a much better game on a much better system for a lot less than spending thousands of dollars on a game that is utterly meaningless. That's the thing I don't know. Like, it's just the economic decision behind spending thousands of dollars on a phone game. That blows my mind. I just don't understand why.
You can play a phone game anywhere. You can't take your Xbox One in the car with you and earn your Uber or whatever.
Oh, totally.
You can't play it at grandma's house unless she lets you hook it up, if she's even got a TV that works.
But there's plenty of games that you can spend fucking $12 on and never have to spend any more money again.
Yeah, but they figured out
you can buy a game for $50.
They figured out that some people will do it.
Oh, I applaud them for doing it. It's just what blows my mind is that you would think that somebody who has that kind of money knows how to not lose that amount of money on something so meaningless. It blows my mind. I don't get that. I don't get that these people who are very wealthy or have wealthy children are pissing away money so freely on something so meaningless.
I have a question for you.
Sure.
Would you consider yourself a video game elitist?
Not even close.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Then how is this problem or issue, how is this thing that you don't get not video game elitism?
I see elitism as something like, you know, you've earned, you've worked hard at, you've gained the skills and knowledge. I would say in this regard, it's this one type of person that I just can't grasp in my head. I just don't understand, like, what would be like, at what point do you look at yourself and go, I've dropped thousands of dollars to get a Boba Fett? Like, how do you sleep at night when you drop like that thousands of dollars? You could have a vacation. You could go on vacation. You could go, like, some of these people, you're easily looking at like spending 10 grand on this game and you're going, man, like, you could have had life experiences instead of Boba Fett and Lando and Stormtrooper Han.
Maybe somebody's not interested in going to France. Maybe they just want
to. I'm not interested in going to France.
Maybe they just want to sit on their couch and be Boba Fett for a little bit. Maybe that's their vacation.
Where do they get the money? Where do they get this money from? If you're a lazy person who sits around on the couch playing games all day, well, where is this money coming from?
Your credit card, and you're making payments on it.
I know, but like, are these game companies really backing their entire economics, like their business plan for these games, on trying to like woo the heir to the Johnson & Johnson fortune into playing this game on their couch? Like, that's a good shaky ground. That's niche.
I mean, I'm not saying they're staking their entire existence on it. They have other streams of revenue, but this is obviously one that's at least partially viable. It is bringing in usable income. I can't see why they wouldn't do it.
Well, what? And at the same time, it's like, we're just as guilty. The free players, the ones who are farming, like, all we are is just fodder. They're just cannon fodder for these fucking guys. Like,
oh,
I can't crack.
Mode.
Oh, man. I've been playing it. I've been working away at it. I play every fucking day when I've got a moment to sit. And I know for a fact that, you know, I will never crack the top 200 to start actually getting the actual good prizes. I get to 203. I get to 202, but God damn it, I wake up the next morning, I'm back at 491. You know, it's pointless.
Yeah.
But so another thing I don't get is why am I so addicted to this shameful fucking game? I can never have these hours back. I'm missing my children grow up.
The last phone game that I played, I forget if it was Bad Piggies or that one where you race the car up and down the hill. What was that called? Hill Racer?
I never played that one.
It's that one. You're just holding down the gas pedal and driving up and down hills and trying not to crash. And if you, like, flip the car, like, your dude's head is sticking out of the top of the car. If you flip the car, you break his
head
neck.
Come up?
You break his neck and you hear this little... It's oh, God, it's so... Or you can run out of gas. But typically, you take a hill too hard, you flip somehow.
Yeah.
And I think maybe you can even, like, control your rotation. But you'll land and you'll roll his little head and go, and it's just horrifying. But anyway, and those are old games. Those are old games. I just got to where I don't play games on my phone anymore.
Fair enough.
If I'm going to play a video game, I want it to be something where I sit down and it's like a special thing. I don't get to do it very often. So like, I'm still playing Doom, the new Doom.
Okay.
When I get a chance, I'll sit down for 30 minutes and I'll unwind by going on a killing spree on Mars or hell. But as far as like having time to do things or having the energy to invest in a game like that, I just don't, man. I just don't. Oh, I got so many other irons.
It's because you're a dad. I hear you. Like the reason why I like the phone game is kind of like what you brought up, though, which is I can just whip it out at any time. So if I'm waiting in yeah.
You like to whip it out at the bus stop?
Where was the ba-dum-ching? or a whoop?
Yeah, my phone, I got the soundboard on my phone and the screen was dead and I just didn't have time. You got to let me know in advance. You got to telegraph that joke, buddy.
Okay, so I play it when there's downtime, I guess. My wife's caught me a few times on playing it a little too long, where it's kind of like, hey, can you kind of pay attention to the kids? And I'm like, God, what is wrong with my brain? Why am I so addicted to the stupid game?
Dopamine.
I'm so glad I never got into that Pokemon Go, though. I'm really glad I missed out on that one.
Did you watch the video that MatPat did on his Game Theory channel about those kind of games where the reason they string you along with like some sort of limiter, like how many hours you can play in a day? And so then you dole up that $2 more or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The reason they do that is to control the dopamine hits that you get from succeeding.
Oh, it's pellets. Yeah, it's all like little mouse pellets, yeah. Basically.
So you literally become physically addicted to playing this game because you're like, oh, I killed another Sith. I don't even know what you do in the game. I don't care. I've killed another Sith Lord, and you get that little dopamine hit. But then
the
after
crash.
A couple hours, they shut you down.
I know the crash. That crashy feeling. When you run out of credits, these little credits that they have on here, it's like, and all of a sudden you realize you're like, I have to put the game down now. I have to put it down now. I can't play anymore. I don't want to play anymore. I don't want to give them my money. Disney has done me a great service by being all shitty about white men liking their product. That I, it's like this reminder where every time I'm like run out of credits and I'm like, oh, I could just put another $2 in and maybe get some more purple crystals. And then I remember I'm like, wait, no.
That's the alarm. You can't do that.
Yeah, exactly. Don't do it. That's why they don't give them the money. They don't need it. They don't want it. And, well, they do want it, but I'm not giving it to them.
Oh yeah, they want it. They want all of it. They don't care about you. You could be dead in a gutter and they'll come by and take your wallet.
You haven't seen that Rogue One yet, have you?
No, I heard it's good.
I know. I heard it's really good too. I know. I want to see it, but I don't want to give them my money.
And they've already announced the one that's coming out in 2018,
which is
Han Solo, a Star Wars story.
When are we getting Episode 8?
2017.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So then there'll be those are like spaced out 2 years. And then in between, they're going to fill that gap with like Rogue One, and then apparently Han Solo. And I'm assuming that was true and not something that someone made up.
Have they cast Han Solo yet?
I don't know. Apparently,
I know they. I think they've cast Lando already. I think it's Donald Glover from Community. I'm not 100% sure on that, but I think they've already got it, which is okay, I guess.
So, who would you want to see play a young Han Solo?
That's a good question.
Chris Pratt?
Maybe. He's a little too big.
A little too big how? Like,
tall? Too thick?
Too tall? Okay. I'll give you that.
Too muscular?
He can always.
I mean, Han was not a hulking guy.
Yeah, he was kind of, he was brainy.
He was just smug. He's a smuggler.
Smug asshole. He'd have done good on this show.
Yes, yes.
And he shot first.
Who would I put in that position? I know who I'd want for my Lando instead of Donald Glover.
Who's that?
Damon Wayans Jr.
Okay.
He was on a... Oh, fuck. What was the name of this show? He was on this show that was basically like a new Friends. But he's really funny. And he's like... He's got that swagger that Lando had that I think that he could bring to the role.
Those are some big shoes to fill, Billy Dee.
I know, man. Billy Dee, that is a handsome man. That is a handsome man. Yeah, oh, yeah. And the way that he puts the moves on Leia in Empire, you know, when he's trying to...
Along with us among the clouds.
Yeah. Join me for a refreshment. You're all invited, of course. He's just like holding her hand and kissing her hand and all this kind of stuff. It's like
Han's like, you motherfucker.
He knew at that time, too, he was about to double cross. That's the thing. He knew. Well, man, what a great character Lando is. Like, what a fucking great character Lando is.
That's all right, because he got the flip where he was suddenly no longer big and bad by the time Chewie got his claws around his throat.
Well, and I also like him. I really liked him too in Return of the Jedi, when he's like hanging by that pole, and then like Han's supposed to be shooting the tentacle, and he's like higher, a little higher,
just a little bit higher,
just a little higher, face, please, please, blind man, don't shoot me. So that's my problem is not problem.
You're gonna get a issue, dude.
Yeah, well, it was
just, I didn't crap too bad.
I think and Mad Cucks was throwing around some threats about that, and he's a new Patreon supporter.
God, that dude is so funny. A little bit of behind the curtain stuff, but that dude is so quick witted.
He was fantastic.
Like, I know he can stay in character really well, but he did it for an hour and a half.
And like every time you'd throw the ball to him, he'd smash it back. You know, it was
he'd
just
hit
amazing.
It out of the park.
Yep. Yeah.
Like sometimes he would hit him out of the park, and you didn't know you were throwing him the ball. He was just on it. I can't do that. I'm slow as hell. Throw me a joke, it'll bounce off of me, and I'll go ball.
We'll fix it in post.
Yeah. We'll edit this. By the way, when you hear me in the show say we'll edit this, I mean it. We just miss a few. We'll edit this. Oh God, what a nightmare. What made me think I could do a podcast? What made me think I was clever and quick-witted enough to come up with jokes on the fly and talk to somebody from Canada and make people laugh and give me money? What made me think I had any sort of talent? Oh my God.
You know what, I did like, one of the things that was a real honor, I thought, was when Mad Cucks sent us that design of the Wienerstein Network, Wienerstein Network, and he's got our logo in there right next to Dick's.
Yeah, that was pretty good. And he made up podcasts to put on there just to take up space. What was it, like George's what? I can't remember.
George's Soup. Soupcast.
Yeah, George's Soupcast.
Yeah. No, I thought it was I thought he was a great guest. It was great to have him on. I think we're going to have some great guests in the future here. We got Adam Nash lined up in the new year.
You mean
when
he
gets better? He's not dead. I feel bad for him. He's actually going through a real fucking rough go. But we'll get him on. Who else do we have? Mike Cernovich has said that he will come onto our show in the new year.
Yeah, that's huge, man. I'm working on getting Alfonso Rachel. You know who he is?
You've told me about him before. Is he one of Bill Whittle's crew? Or
He was on PJTV. He's a conservative guy. He's had this show called Zonation. When PJTV shut down, he changed the name of his show to The Zoloft.
Okay, that's a pretty good name.
Yeah, he's badass, man. He's got a band called 20 Pound Sledge.
Nice.
And so they're rocking. He's the drummer.
We got Matt Christensen and Becca, the blonde from Beauty and the Beta, that want to come onto the show because I helped them out in getting another guest. And he'd be our token, I wouldn't say liberal, but crossover liberal.
The red pill's rubbing off on him.
He's recently uncucked. I think 2016 was the year he got uncucked. But he's like a Dave Rubin type.
Okay.
So, you know, I'd love to have somebody else on so we're not totally echo chambering. But
yeah,
we got some more coming up in the new year. And we'll get this one out. We'll get this one out before the end of 2016. So next week at the latest.
I'll edit this one.
Why do I say next week? You're going to be hearing it when it comes out. do you have anything else to plug or anything else to talk about, Buck?
Not right now. Well, I can hear my kids downstairs. My son's awake. I'm going to go have lunch with the wife at Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A!
Which is something I'm going to bring in at some point is Chick-fil-A haters.
All right. I'm looking forward to that because I am definitely not a Chick-fil-A hater. I've never had Chick-fil-A.
How do you know you're not a hater? Maybe you think it's gross.
Well, I know why a lot of people hate it. It's not because of the flavor. Nobody thinks that it's gross. That Nobody flavor. Hates on the food.
George did.
Really?
Yeah. That motherfucker. Huh. So anyway, thank you everyone for subscribing to the Patreon. We've had a blast. We hope you've enjoyed bonus episode number two. Have a Merry Christmas. We'll have an episode out next week, but also have a Happy New Year just in case you hear this around the same time. So thank you everyone.
Take your goddamn tree down.
Yes, take your tree down, you bastards. So thank you everyone for listening. I've been Uncle Buck, and this is Joel Chaco.
Hey-o. Ciao, mi enchada. All right, bye.